Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Awaken Us. First, I would like to give thanks to the Creator that leads, guides, and directs us in all things. My journey has turned into an eye-opening awakening, and I am here to share that awakening with you. This podcast will explore who are we? What is the difference between a person and a son? What is our purpose? Why do we hold certain beliefs? Why do we tend to see ourselves and others in a certain way? Why do we act the way we do towards ourselves and others? And what does any of this have to do with the events we experience in our world daily? I would like to also thank every one of you for your support that you're giving me. My meetup friends, my LinkedIn connections, my Twitter friends, Facebook friends, Goodreads friends, and many more. Thank you for your emails, your text messages, and your kind words. During this podcast, I will read from my book, He Lives, A Living Testimony, second edition with added preface and edited back cover. Every 3 months, I give away three of my books through my website, www.awaken-us.org. You can click the link to enter and win. The giveaway starts this month, and the winners will be announced once a month. I am promoting a message, not just selling a book. It will be a gift that will keep on giving. And as always, I invite you to visit my website for all information on upcoming events, studies, videos, bookings, and news. The Awaken Us platform will air researchers that address our collective human experiences, both good and evil. The natural law versus man's law. Did we break the first commandment of God when we took on a false identity from birth? Do we really own anything on this earth? Do we have free will? And words. How many meanings can a word have, and what words have we learned that keeps us in bondage, slavery? Stay tuned in for all of our studies, then study to show yourself approved. Tonight on Awaken Us, I will read from my book, He Lives, A Living Testimony, second edition with added preface and edited back cover. This month, I will be airing a pre-recorded presentation called The Unraveled Programs by Serving King, presented by Marcus. Website, www.servantking.info. This presentation will reveal things you are not supposed to know, give you knowledge that is not government approved, expose things that are deliberately concealed, unmask the illusion and fraud of deceivers, teach you how the oldest trick in the book is done, prove how you have been swindled, and who the thief is will shock you. You will be amazed by the everyday realities you practice and unbelievable discoveries hiding in plain sight. Your long-held beliefs will be shattered and replaced with confirmed knowledge. And of course, you will obtain your reward if you can renew your mind. We have all abandoned our real birthright for an abstract birth certificate. Topics for upcoming shows. Number 2, waking up. Number 3, how is it possible? Number 4, nothing is it something. Number 5, a lame game. Number 6, oh my God. Number 7, the initiative of iniquity. Number 8, out of the frying pan into the fire. Number 9, to be or not to be. Number 10, the serpent move. Number 11, your personal mark of the beast. Number 12, the determiner. Number 13, the perfect swindle exposed. And last but not least, show number 14, disclosure, the word of God. Again, I would like to bring some understanding about the nature of problems so we can go to work on solving them. We recognize many of the problems humanity faces, but we do not understand the nature cause of our problems. There are root core causal of factors why we are experiencing suffering in the world. We need some basic information about the nature of the problems to begin talking about the solutions to these problems. These root core causal factors are about creating a positive change in your world. It is about the great work. It is about what we care about. Care is the generative principle of the heart. Knowing the true difference between right and wrong behavior. Knowing these factors is not just about your awakening, but about taking action in the process of informing others. It's about being involved in the awakening process of others. You are not here just for your happiness. We are the voice of truth. Courage is a must. Seek truth and then speak truth. Last but not least, waking up does not equate to perfection. The great work requires time and persistence. Never give up. Truth, love, and freedom is worth fighting for. I will continue to speak on the root causal factors of our suffering for weeks to come in order to uplift, inspire, and inform the human consciousness of us all. You can listen to my podcast from my main website, awaken-us.org. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Hold on, I'll be right back. Dismissing myths and strongholds, one mind at a time.
For immediate release, learning our part in the Creator's plan. He Lives, a Living Testimony, has been published by Outskirts Press. Outskirts Press announces the latest version of the highly anticipated, motivational, and inspirational self-help book from Decatur, Georgia, published by writer Sharon Pelham. Mrs. Pelham's most recent book to date was revised in March 2019 with added preface and edited back cover. This revised 5x8 paperback book is available worldwide on book retailer websites such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The webpage at www.awakeus.org was updated simultaneously with the book's publication relaunching.
This book before I received the whole truth, namely the facts about this life we live on earth. I was not aware that I had been misled about the schemes of the ancients of old and the stories told in the Bible. Natural law, the natural rights, were hijacked before we were even born. Natural rights are inherited rights given to us by the Creator. These rights are based on good and bad behavior, such as what goes around comes around. We were born into a matrix of lies and deception. Natural laws versus legal laws. Do you know the difference? Identity theft has been committed against us since birth. We did not willingly give up our will, but our parents unknowingly gave them up for us. We are now participating in a system governed by a ruling class. All phases of living, education, religion, politics, finances, and the media have been hijacked by a governing body. Preface Part 2. What's on your mind? Let's take it to the word. Call me. Dial 516-531-9476. All callers are screened prior to airing. A letter from Marcus. Unraveled Programs 1 through 14. We are all born undeniably and incontrovertibly into a government. We are taught and subdued to hate our government, become anti-government, and join a self-governing society like Canada or the United States. We are all enticed and suborned into making this choice, but it has an unspeakable hidden cost and price. I have thoroughly re-examined the fraudulent offer and have determined that the price is too high. You should examine it too. I will take us methodically, step by step, through the fraud, the what, where, and how you were deceived into voluntarily alienating your property. I will show you how we continue to alienate our inheritance property on an ongoing basis through money. You will learn and be able to see how everything is exactly backwards, opposite, and upside down from reality because you have been leading unawares a fraudulently forged and constituted life. I will confirm for you the unapproved truth of every aspect of the life you have been leading, and you will be surprised. Using the two concepts that led to my discoveries, I will also confirm for you what millions of people claim to know but fail to see. Blind fools means tricked by sight. And of course, I'll give you the why you do not know, why it is hard to see, why it is done, why you are letting it happen. The deliberate and well-implemented mind control we are all under is beyond your grasp due to our belief that our mind has not been controlled. Well, that is how mind control works. You cannot detect it. Every country claims to be founded upon the rule of law, and that sounds like a great thing. Did you know that a fiction is a rule of law? The rule is that something that is false will be treated as if it is true, and you cannot disprove it. Your legal system is a fiction of law. It all starts with something you create and can rule over, called your own constitution. An absolute insane absurdity for those that have eyes. Accepting that something is evil, which you always thought was so good and right, is a pretty hard thing to do. The life you have been leading is in the public interest. These programs were prepared for your best interest.
He Lived, the Living Testimony, is 50 pages in length and is being aggressively promoted to appropriate markets with a focus in the motivational and inspirational self-help category. With U.S. wholesale distribution through Ingram and Baker & Taylor and pervasive online availability through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and elsewhere, He Lives the Living Testimony meets consumer demand through both retail and library markets with a suggested retail price of $12.95. Additionally, He Lives a Living Testimony can be ordered by retailers or wholesalers for the maximum trade discount price set by the author in quantities of 10 or more from the Outskirts Press Direct Bookstore at www.outskirtspress.com/bookstore. For more information or to contact the author, visit www.awakeus.org.
Hi, my name is Marcus, and this is Servant King Unraveled. This program is called, Oh My God. That's a good name, don't you think? Oh My God. This program will clear up some misconceptions. These are concepts that people have taken and believe, but have missed the concept. Hence a misconception. It's less aggressive than a deception, but basically the same. All it takes is one misconception to take the wrong turn, to change the truth of a thing. So these misconceptions require some explaining to understand them and need to be clarified in order to understand the rest of the programs. This program will also address the first and the most important commandment of God. And it says, I am the Lord your God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So Egypt is a house of bondage. Now, the first misconception we're going to talk about is God. What is a God? Who is God? And so forth. There's a reason why people believe they obey God and keep His commandments. And here's the reason. The reason is because there is only one true God. You can ask anyone whether they believe in God or not. How many gods are there? They'll say one. If you ask an atheist, how many gods are there? Well, if there's a God, there's only one. So everyone knows there's only one God. This is common knowledge. In fact, God says this himself. He says, in Deuteronomy, he says, Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. So if I asked you, are you God? You would say, no, of course not. Of course I'm not God. And religious creeds, they all make statements like, you hear things like, We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. And on they go and they make their statement of faith or their belief. And people will say the various religions are different paths, all to the same God. Universities today are teaching courses, not in money or law, no. They're teaching courses in comparative religions, comparing, I guess, different gods. But they're all the same one God. That's what they're being taught. And here is where the truth is used to deceive you. There is supposed to be only one God, but in fact, there are many. Now, if you believe that there's only one God, if you believe that, then it's impossible to believe that you are worshiping another God. And this is the crux of the misconception. Could you be worshiping another God and not even know that you are doing it? Is it possible you are worshiping something that you do not think is a God, but in fact is? Something that has all the qualities and properties of a God as a supreme being. Everyone thinks there is only one God, but God. God doesn't think that. We all think that, not God. His first commandment says to us, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. If there are no other gods, that command is utterly stupid. Certainly unnecessary, redundant, not needed. God, who's supposed to know everything, does not know there is only one God. So what does the first commandment really mean? Well, it starts with, I'm your God. I'm the supreme being who brought you out of Egypt. Who brought you out of Egypt, the house of bondage. Now, why does he say that? Oh, yeah, I remember the story about the story of sending in plagues and rescuing the people and parting the Red Sea. And I think Moses was leading the way. I think Charlton Heston played Moses. It was great. But what was the importance of saying, I brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage? You see, we are trained to skim over things. Today, most commandments would just say the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. If that's what God wanted you to know, that's what he would have said. That's not what the commandment says. It starts with something even more important yet. You will learn that in law, every word is important. And you will learn that in the word of God, every word is extremely important. He doesn't mince words, and he says only exactly what he means. This is why the scripture is probably hard to read. It doesn't flow like literature. It is a technical book on law. It must be precise. Can't change a single word. So when he says, I brought you out of Egypt, he is saying, I brought you out of a god, a false, foreign, alien god. I brought you out of this god that you were in bondage to. There was a bond, a binding there. Next, he says, you shall have no other gods before me. You see, In Egypt, you obey Egyptian law. In God's kingdom, you obey God's law. So Egypt is a god. Canada is a god. The United States of America is a god. Germany is a god. In Germany, they practice German law, not God's law. These are all theocracies. The people combined as one become the theocracy. Everyone obeys the one. A god is a lawgiver. A god is a sovereign, makes the rules. So the sovereign state of Egypt, the sovereign state of Canada, of America, of Germany, the sovereign state of Texas. This is why they can kill Texans. They just can't kill a man. No, that man has to be a Texan in person. Now I will be bringing up this scripture many times throughout the programs. I'm going to read this to you. And this is very, very important. First time I read this, I never understood this. In Exodus 10:31, it says, this is right after the flood, or very soon after the flood. It said, these are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. In their nations? There's only like 8-10 people alive. That's it. What do you mean, their nations? You see, a family is a nation. Nation means to be born. Okay? Don't confuse nation with anything else. We're going to be using different words in future programs, and we'll be getting to that. And it goes on and it says, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had a brick for stone, and they had slime for mortar. Sort of sounds like masons, eh? They're going to build something. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top will reach up to heaven. And let us make us a name, see, a family name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And God came down and looked down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. The children of men builded, not God. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They've joined together as one. And they all have one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they imagined to do. This is really, really important, okay? So we just use a different word and no one can see it. A sovereign nation, a god. Gods are sovereign. Gods are sovereign. Sovereigns are gods. And of course, God knows there can be other gods, and that's why he says, no other gods. You see how this deception is, or this truth is used to deceive us? So, let us make us a name, a nation, a family name. Canadian, American, Polish, German, whatever. Forming or constituting a country is the making of a family. A corporation is a family, a community, a city. These are all families, but they're not the proper family that God created. So a family of gods united as one is a sovereign nation. His first commandment is not to obey his laws, no, but to not to have any other gods in his place or higher than him. God is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of Gods. He actually says that, God of Gods, here. For the Lord your God is God of Gods. You notice God, capital of Gods, smaller G, okay, Lord of Lords. A terrible and mighty God, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. That's Deuteronomy 10:17. So theism is different than deism. People don't know this. The, I explain this in a further program too. The ism, the one. This is the revealed word of God. This is the true God. Deism, a deity is a God, not the God. Okay? Remember, our focus will not be diverted from property. We will follow the property. Now, just for a moment, let's lose this whole concept of law and let's think in terms of business. Let's call law my business. Whose business is this? When Jesus was on earth, he said he was here about his Father's business, not his own business, his Father's business. He was here about the business of his Father's property, the kingdom of God. He says, I am in this world, but I am not of this world. I'm not of Canada, of America, of South Africa. No. I am in this world, but I am not of this world. He's born of something else, and so are we. All law is really that simple. Who made the property? Who is the owner? Who can make a rule regarding the property? In the olden days, a court would say, all those having business before this honorable court, come forward and be heard. You got business here? Good. If you have no business in this court, well, then get lost. None of your business. So when you're in court, you must be involved in some kind of business, somebody's business. If you don't own anything, I don't know whose business you're involved in. But now, religions show and explain in great detail how some religions, like Catholics, for example, worship the sun. It's all Mithraism. They worship on Sunday. They are pagans. They worship the god of Isis, Horus, and Set, and all these other things. And there's symbols all over the place, and I don't doubt that's all put out there. And that is what IHS stands for, which is on certain things. And what does the Catholic Church do or say about this in response to all this criticism? Nothing. Why? Because you have taken the bait and you've been sucked in.
More.
Catholics in Canada worship the same God as Baptists, Methodists, Jehovah's Witnesses, and atheists. They all practice the same law. How do I know? Because I can see it. I'm not blind. Everybody obeys the same law in Canada. Everybody obeys the same law in America. Everyone obeys the same law in Germany. This is the insanity of religions. No religion has anything to do with the law. It's all a sideshow to keep you diverted from seeing what you should see. Your religion does not own any property, your church doesn't, and neither do you. It's all just pretend stuff. It means less than nothing. The sun that the Catholics worship does not own any property, and it does not make any rules. Sun can't make any rules. Rule of law, it's not a god. God is not concerned with the sun. or statues or all this other stuff people think. His commandments were written for you. He's concerned about you. He wrote it to you. You're the one that can read. Okay? So you think there's only one God. So nothing else could possibly be God. Then religions are worshiping all different kind of gods and they all fight each other. Argue with each other. You're the pagan. No, no, man. You're the pagan, man. No, no, you're the pagan. Which, of course, means countryman. That's what a pagan is, defined as countryman. Not a man made in the image or likeness of God. Not a God-like man. No, no. A countryman. Totally different. This is the definition of pagan countrymen. And all these religious people are all countrymen. Show me one that isn't. I hope there is somewhere, but I don't know where there is one. And the God everyone is worshiping indeed, in reality, in truth, and in fact, is their country. Their love of country. Nobody even thinks it's a God. What do you think an anthem is? An anthem is a hymn. It's a hymn to your God. That's what a hymn is, to sing to your God. This is what patriotism is, right? Patra, father. And that is the God God is talking about in the scripture. Sort of. There's another twist. And the people who run this world are laughing their ass off at you. Not the atheists. They're not laughing at the atheists. They're not hypocrites. It's the religious people they're laughing their ass off at. They go, what idiots. They don't understand the principles of law. They don't understand property. They don't understand creation, constitution, and so forth. Now, isn't that a great deception or conditioning of how we think? Now, we're not done with this yet. No, the deception gets even better. There's another twist to this. It takes another turn. We all obey the law of the land. Where was I here? We all obey the law of the land, our country, and that is the God we obey. But a country like Canada came into being in 1867. So we made our own God and serve it. We serve our country. What does God say? He says, for the gods of the nations are idols. Not gods, they're idols. The gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. 1 Chronicles 16:26. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. This is a little bit different again. Yes, your country is the God you serve and love, but are in fact idols. It's done through images, and I'll be showing you that within a couple programs here now. But who is the country? It's the people as one. So it's the people. So who is the real God we obey and serve? It's ourself. We're a self-governing nation as one. A self-governing society. We are the God and our country is the idol. Idolatry, most serious crime any man can commit. It's treason. What happens when you commit treason? You die. You get killed for treason. And you lose all your property. That's it. Everything. You have no rights, no privileges, nothing. So there's only us people here. Remember when I said that? I said nobody knows what that means. Well, I hope by now you know exactly what that means. The scripture was written for you. You are the only one that can read. Your country cannot read. The sun can't read. A statue can't read. The word of God was revealed for you and to you. Only you can claim the property of God as your own and make rules over it. Only you can be a lawmaker. Only you can be a God in the place of God. See, we make up imaginary things and then start calling it names. Duh. Right? We make up organizations. We say, oh, the people are okay. It's that rotten organization when all those people get together and become one. That, what do you think the one is? Right? We'll get to that a little bit later. There is nothing else. You are the God that God is talking about when he said, no other gods before me. And we're all looking for they and them. They and them are doing this to us. Do not place yourself above the true God or supplant God or usurp him. Do not steal his property, become its owner, and make your own laws, your own will. Do not take jurisdiction over his property. The word is autonomy and self-will, which means self-mastery. Malachi 3, when God's telling the people, return to me and I will return to you. And God, and the people ask God, well, or God says, well, man robbed God, yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And everyone knows they are not God, and no possible way to be a God. It couldn't be me. Oh, it's the Catholic Church, or the God Zeus, or the sun, or whatever people believe is a false god. No, the only false god there can ever be is you and I. That's it. There is nobody else here on earth. Why are you trying to blame something doesn't even exist? And when you can understand that, you will start to understand much of the scripture. And when you understand that, you will start to understand how the legal system works that you are involved in also. Politicians, presidents, monarchies all claim to be under God. The president of the United States and monarchs all around the world have said, we are all children of God. We are a nation under God. And the God they are under is you. These leaders all serve you. That's what God's saying. He says everything's going to backfire on you if you don't obey my law. Not the true God, creator of heaven and earth. They just use the word God and you think of the true God. They have to say that so that you don't think you are violating the first commandment of God. Matthew 20. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Everything is opposite. Everything is backwards when you mess with God's creation. And the people who run the world are laughing their ass off at you. Right? I keep saying that these people that run the world, of course, we're the ones that run the world. We're the Satanists, but we don't know it. But there are people that actually are Satanists and run the world. While you voluntarily lose your inheritance, your labor, and your life to them, which is what happens when you break the law of God. It is God who does this to you for breaking the law. The law is the law. I told you the people who run the world use the law of God to get you to break the law. Because it is the word of God that is the law. Whether you believe in God or not, and your legal system is also the word of God. Your word. You. So is there more than one true God? No. But you can be as God by taking his place. You are to appear as God in his likeness, not be as God. That is what Jesus did. I know it sounds almost blasphemous, but it's not. This is a huge misconception. It's actually a deception because of all what the religious people tell you, which leads to people believing Jesus is God. I told you we're going to address that in detail later. What's the next misconception? Kingdom of God, where is it? Anyone know? Must be up there, eh? Well, where is it? I asked a minister-type scholar who had a doctorate in divinity. Yeah, could you imagine having a doctorate, a PhD in divinity? A PhD in the study of God. I asked him, where's the kingdom of God? He says, nobody knows. It's not really a place, but an idea. Oh, no. I asked him if he knew where the kingdom of Saudi Arabia is. Oh, he knew where that one was. Well, I know where the kingdom of God is. Here's a clue. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else. So where is his kingdom? Everywhere. Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will be done on earth, on earth, on earth as it is in heaven. So where is the kingdom of God? Everywhere and everything. That's where. And this dumb guy with a doctorate in divinity? Doesn't know. I think the kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the kingdom of Canada is an idea. The kingdom of Canada came into being in 1867. That was its beginning. I also think that if we ever dissolve the kingdom of Canada, you will find the kingdom of God will reappear by default. So what was the purpose of bringing people out of the kingdom of Egypt? To bring them into the kingdom of God. Now, you can be in the kingdom of God and not be in the kingdom of God. You're in the kingdom of God physically, but not in law. If God is not your God, if he is not your king whom you obey, if God is not ruling over you, then you are not in the kingdom of God, even though you are all in his kingdom physically, in reality. It's just an illusion. When we get to what a constitution is in the next program, you will see the illusion we are living, or should I say, that we give life to. Okay?
If you'd like to talk to me after the show, call in 5 minutes prior to the show ending. Dial 516-531-9476.
No one reads the Bible, because the next edition of Harry Potter is now out. God is a superstition. A mythical man in the sky who chose your queen to rule over you, and she can prove it. The queen at her coronation was given the most valuable thing in the world, simply called the book. And we use it to level the broken leg on the couch. And lastly, if you ever go into court to worship your worship and are confused about your worship, then you go straight to loony bin. So if you're normal, these are some of the things everyone knows or thinks about religion and God. If you ever get into trouble because you are confused, just remember to say, I'm just pretending. I'm not delusional. Listen, boys and girls, religion is not God. Religion is not the Bible. Religion is not the Word of God. Religion is an adverb. An adverb modifies an action. There are only two acts of religion in the scripture. When you separate from God and bind to Satan, and when you separate from Satan and rebind to God. That's it. Two acts of religion. The only way to separate yourself from God is to practice a religion. Religion means to rebind, adhere to, a bond. Breaking the commandments of God require a religion. In fact, keeping God's first three commandments require no effort. Just be who you are, and you are keeping his commandments. You have to do something to break them. You have to do an act of religion to break his commandments. You see, God says, keep my commandments. Don't go and obtain them. Don't go ahead and get them somehow by doing it. Keep them means you already have them, which means you already have this state of being. This is who you are. This is what the commandments are all about. I am your God and you are my people. This is what the commandments are all about. You are not supposed to be religious, rebinding to something else. You are supposed to remain righteous. Righteous means what you are, absolutely right, birthright. You were born righteous and good. Everyone is. And you were certainly not born with original sin. And that's widely taught too. You see, we have the Bible, we have the law of God, and then we have religious laws. And people think that comes from God. No. Let's take, for example, the Highway Traffic Act. Everyone knows about the Highway Traffic Act. Let's say the Highway Traffic Act is the Word of God, the law, the Scripture. Christianity tells us the Highway Traffic Act has been revised and the first half has been repealed. We just have the second half. That's Christian law. Judaism tells us the first half is the Highway Traffic Act. The second half is not true, never been ratified. This is Jewish law. And Islam tells us that they have the final version of the Highway Traffic Act. They say there was Adam and Noah and Moses and Abraham and Jesus and then Muhammad, all prophets. Muhammad got the final version. That's the Quran. That is Islamic law. And of course, there are numerous versions of each. Now, can you go into court with your own revised version of the Highway Traffic Act and say, this is how I will act, this is what I believe? No. God says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Thou shalt not. Shall me is imperative. Did you know that? If you may do that, that's permissive. Shall is imperative. There's no choice. Shall. Absolute command. If you ask a religious man this, your religious laws are all the word of God? You go, yes, yes. And God is supreme? Yes, of course he is. And there is only one God? You go, yes, yes. And these are your religious laws? Yes, yes, from God. And you obey these laws? Yes, yes, every day I obey these laws. Well, unless it bothers somebody. What? What do you mean? Well, we obey the law of the land first. And then if nobody objects, we can obey our religious laws. But you said your religious laws are from God. And you said God is the highest. How can your law of the land decide if you can obey your religious laws from God? And then he goes, oh yeah, how does that work? Puny little guy, that's Satan, eh? I had to do that because Satan thinks he's so big, he's so clever, great deceiver, so I just made him little, you know. What is Satan? If there is a God, there is a Satan. If there is good, there is evil. People tend to forget about this Satan guy. He's as real as God and as real as you and me. Why? Because there can be no wrong without right. If nothing is right, then nothing can be wrong. These are opposite extremes. If there is no God, absolute good, there is no Satan, absolute evil. If nothing is evil, then everything is good. Everything's fine. There's nothing evil. We decide what is right and wrong, don't we? We decide if this word is true, if his word is true or not. We decide who is God and who is Satan. We decide what is good and what is evil. Our legal system has good and evil. We decide who the devil is. There are things that God says are perfectly fine. And in fact, you are commanded to do them. And we lock up people in jail for 20, 30, 40 years of their life for the exact same thing. And there are things that God says you will be put to death for. He says they're very serious crimes that we say are not only fine, but if you hate them, we will put you in jail for hating them. You are offensive. You know, sometimes I'll see people on television that talking about their religion and everyone assumes that's about God. And then they'll say something and the interviewer will go, well, why do you think that? And, you know, start castigating this guy. Why doesn't the guy just turn around and say, nothing to do with me. God says this. Attack God. Hate God first. God actually says in the scripture, if you do what he wants you to do, he says, don't worry if people hate you. He says, because they've hated me first. They hate me first before they can hate you. So we need to pause and think about this for a moment, how evil this is. destroying someone's whole life. And this goes on in our society every day. Locked up like an animal in a cage for their whole life. For nothing. For nothing wrong, according to God. This is how evil this whole deception thing is. Or, we make a law that will prevent you or reduce the chances of you breaking the law. You haven't broken the law, but you've broken the law that would prevent you from breaking the law. Duh. And we think that's just fine and dandy. And we always know the reason why we make laws like that. And if you really know the reason, it's always greed. Just someone's greed is behind all that. Or we, and then we make a law preventing you from preventing you from preventing you from breaking the law. So you end up breaking the law that prevents you from breaking the law. But you never broke the law. You never did anything wrong. You only broke the law that prevented you from breaking the law. And there are people in jail for the rest of their life and have done nothing wrong. All because of the greatest hoax ever played on man. Your legal system is not law. Real law protects you, your rights, and your duties. Your legal system, and this is every man's legal system, is not law. A legal system is a system of self-governing bills, debts, obligations, and promises of performance to act, which are governed by the rule of law. The law in the hands of man is used for greed. To oppress you, to obtain control over you, and to steal. By the end of these programs, you will learn how you have had everything, and then lost everything because of one act. Your legal system creates crimes that are not crimes, self-imposed debts and punishments, all because you know better than God. Yep, we're smarter than God. All because you did not keep the commandments of God. If you had, you would not be looking for a solution today. All because you own no property. All because you were deceived into breaking the law of God. All because you do not believe in God. How important is it for evil to control the knowledge of God? And it started on day one in the garden. The scripture explains everything. The scripture are the principles of law. But you have to want to find it. This program is called Oh My God. Oh My God, what have I done? Well, I'll tell you and show you in the next program what we've all done. Till then, my name is Marcus.
I hope you enjoyed tonight's podcast. My live podcast will continue next Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Servant King, hi, my name is Marcus. Marcus will continue to explore our confusion of things as he unravels those confusions. The Unraveled program titles, Waking Up, How Is It Possible? Nothing, Is It Something? A Lame Claim. Oh, my God, the Initiative of Iniquity. Out of the frying pan into the fire. To be or not to be. The serpent move. Your personal mark of the beast. The determiner. The perfect swindle exposed. And disclosure. The word of God. Again, you can always come back to listen to this podcast and all of my podcasts from my main website, www.awakenus-.org, under podcast/videos. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Also, visit my main website to purchase my book, He Lives a Living Testimony, second edition with added preface and edited back cover, and other uplifting items such as my creator poster, the Natural Laws poster, and do enter to win a free copy of my book. Winners are named every 3 months, along with more information on upcoming shows, events, podcasts, and book signings. I will now accept any caller to the show. dial 516-531-9476. That's 516-531-9476. Press 1 to speak with me. And do tell a friend.
Understand, ain't here to judge, just to take a stand. The greater plan, the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out in touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like his native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man.